Let's go to the same book in the Bible, same chapter in the Bible we were in this morning, if you will. That was Luke chapter 2, if you've got a short memory. And Luke chapter 2, if you will, we're going to just basically look probably for the most part at a couple of verses here and ask a question, all right? The verse, according to what I found, that the Christmas carol, Silent Night, was written partially because of what had happened is mice had got into the church and they had chewed in the bellows on the organ, so the organ wasn't going to be able to work, wasn't going to be played, all right? So the fellow that pastored the church, I'll get his name because I don't have it memorized. You can open your songbook, it'll tell you, okay? But up there on the top, it's in 1818, Joseph Moore found out that mice had nibbled through the organ bellows in his little church in Austria, and so he couldn't bear to think of a Christmas Eve service without music. So he, on a visit, the Lord just kind of gave him the idea and the thoughts, and he got the words of the poem that he wrote, you know, that we know as Silent Night. And then he took it to his organist and asked him to write some music for that poem. And so that organist was Franz Gruber. And so he wrote a simple melody using only three chords that he knew, all right? And so that evening at the midnight service, Silent Night was sung for the first time by two men accompanied by a guitar, all right? Now, you say, is that true? Gotta be. It's in the internet, all right? So I don't know, but that's what they claim, all right? Is that what you found, Brother Mudd? Now, Brother Mudd sort of said it's not true, all right? So, I don't know. I left that out. Yeah. All right. There you go. So, yeah. Yeah, so if you read enough, you'll find all kinds of stories, all right? So, once again, is it true? I don't know. I wasn't there, okay? I'm glad we've got the carol. I like it, and I do enjoy singing the Christmas carols, and I just do enjoy singing them. Honestly, the Christmas carols, I personally don't enjoy listening to them sung. I enjoy singing them. I enjoy being in church and singing them together. But as far as the sitting down and listening to those songs being sung, I don't enjoy listening to them. I'm not in pain. I don't want you to think that, okay? But it's just not what I'd enjoy listening to. But I love singing them and do that. So there you go, all right? And if y'all will help me not to forget, we're going to sing at the end of the service, after the invitation, everything. We're going to sing the Christmas song that was really written about the second coming, not the first coming. All right? And so we'll look at that one. I was going to do it this morning, but I forgot all about it. Y'all got to understand, when I preach, I forget everything except preaching. And that's where the focus is, and all those other things, it goes away, so Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Notice carefully now, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't think it's possible for you and me to come anywhere close to knowing how those shepherds felt that night out there on that Judean hillside. We can speculate, we can talk, I don't think there's any way we can come close to knowing how they felt. The wonder, the amazement, the fear, the consternation, all of those things I'm sure were involved. Okay, the Bible said, the angel said, fear not. But all of those things, we read the words, and I don't think though we have the proper attitude about them because we're used to the message they give. Our problem is we've heard it. Okay, there's the danger. We've heard it. We've heard it. We're familiar with it. But those Jewish shepherds were following a custom established through centuries by other shepherds. They were out there. For those same centuries, those shepherds had been looking for the Messiah to be sent to their nation. Really and truly, that was what they were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah. Suddenly, to them, it seemed like now all their hopes, dreams, and desires were going to be attained. Because here this angel comes and says, hey, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so now they're looking at it and thinking, this is what we've dreamed about. Now, once again, I'll remind you, they were not looking for a spiritual Savior as such. They were looking for a national Savior. Okay, they were looking for a national, they were looking for a king. That's why you read in Matthew that the king put out the decree and killed all the children because he thought, oh, there's somebody who's going to take my place, take my power, so we'll get rid of him ahead of time. Because he realized those people were looking for a king. They looked for a Messiah who was going to establish his throne in Jerusalem and rule as an earthly king. That is what they were expecting. By the way, that's why a lot of the Jews rejected him. That's why numerous Jews in our day look back and said he's not the Messiah because he didn't do what they thought he was going to do. All right? They didn't understand it, all right? Now, we think of Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin and hell. That's what we look at him, all right? They were expecting a different kind of Savior, right? Have you got that? Now, going through that, we see the proclamation in verse 14. You have a Savior born, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, that Savior was born that night in Bethlehem, without a doubt. The angel had it right. The Savior of the earth was born, but the heavenly host that came along, and that's who we're here from in verse 14, said, hey, they spoke about peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, I'll just throw this in here, no extra charge. The new versions have messed this verse up because they don't talk about peace on earth and goodwill, all right, toward men. They talk about men of goodwill, all right? They mess up the whole thing. They don't understand it. Now, no extra charge for that, but here's the question tonight. What happened to the peace and goodwill? What happened to the peace and goodwill? We don't have much peace in any form today. And boy, there is not a surplus of goodwill toward men, right? So what happened? What happened? Well, now, obviously, that was not fulfilled at the first advent. Was not fulfilled at the first advent. The world's never seen much peace. Truth of the matter is, since the day Jesus Christ was born, the history of mankind is one war after another. Somewhere in the world. Sometimes it was what we call world wars. But, I mean, it's been warfare. If you study history, you have to study about warfare. We talk about great leaders. Those great leaders, men like Charlemagne, y'all all know who he is, I know, all right? You study him in history, Charlemagne was a great leader, but he was a warrior. He was a warrior. We talk about Napoleon. Napoleon was a warrior, okay? The war. And down through history, that's been the great leaders. They've been warriors, all right? Because that's what it took to claim and to hold the rulership, all right? You had to be a fighter, all right? You just had to be. So Even during history, when there was a short period of peace, it was being used so they could arm up so they could go to war. All right? They could go to war. You remember, if you do remember in your history studies, President Wilson talked about World War I as the war to end wars, all right, you know? And sure enough, it did end war for a few years. And then we had World War II, all right? And that was so much fun in the world that wasn't long, it was followed by the Korean War. And that was such a blessing that that one never really ended. They just got together and said, let's sign an armistice. And then we had the Vietnam conflict, and we didn't want to call that a war sometimes. They just call it a conflict. And, hey, just go on and on. It's war, one war after another one, all right? I heard a preacher one time say, in case of rain, the war will be held in the auditorium, all right? Because that's going to be there. The truth of the matter is the history of civilization is a history of uncivilized actions. Much of it, all right? It's a story of fighting, battle, bloodshed. Why? Because not much peace. So when these heavenly host said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth peace, well, it didn't happen at the first advent. Now, it will be fulfilled at the second advent. It will be fulfilled, all right? Then the Prince of Peace will appear. And look back, if you will, Micah, Old Testament prophet, Malachi, chapter 4. It ought to be real easy to find because it's right before Matthew, all right? Malachi chapter 4, if you will. Look at verse 2. This says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, peace is going to reign. Peace is going to reign. All right? The Son of Righteousness is going to arise with healing in his wings. He's coming back, and it's going to be a time where the Bible in the book of Isaiah talks about they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and we're not going to learn of war anymore. The old spiritual says, ain't going to study war no more. Ain't going to study war no more. And boy, what a great day that'll be. But that's at the second advent. At the second advent. So I come back. Why couldn't it have happened? Why couldn't it have been fulfilled before that second advent? I believe the short answer is, you're back at verse 14, chapter 2 of Luke. I believe the short answer is right here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. The short answer is because we've not given him the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't done it. Glory to God is the essential requirement for any peace on earth. Just that. If there's anything we've quit doing, we've quit giving God the glory for the blessings that come our way. We just quit doing that, all right? The blessings that God's bestowed upon us and God's given to us, we won't give God the glory for that anymore. Now, wait a minute. I'm not necessarily talking about you as individuals, all right? But I mean as a whole, the world as a whole has quit giving God the glory for what we have. Instead, we've got a bunch of people running around patting themselves on the back and saying, boy, we've come so far and we've learned so much and that we've been able to do these great things and we've got this stuff. And we live in a day, you know, that thinks it's entitled to every good thing that there is. I ought to just have it. I deserve this. Man, trust me, we don't deserve the goodness that we enjoy, all right? We don't enjoy it. All it takes is a little problem, and man, we get stirred. We just get stirred. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying you. I'm saying we there. It's just a little thing. I mean, I'm sitting here honestly. I knew this weather was coming in, and heard about it ahead of time, and I'm thinking, man, I hope the electricity don't cut off. You know, and if it had a waiver, now it may have cut off at your house. I don't know. It didn't in mine. I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad the heater ran, okay? My daughter and son-in-law, they came in just a while ago, and they called me, my daughter called me the day she was, day before she was supposed to come, and said, "Dad, I don't know if we're going to be able to come." She said, "We don't have any heat in our house." That sounded like a reason to leave, you know. But, you know, they said, "We can't leave because, you know, pipes breaking, that kind of thing." I understand that. Hey, we have it. I never have understood why the air conditioner cannot go out in April. All right? If it go out in April, it's not a big problem. If your heater went out in October, not such a big problem. All right? Not such a big. Why does it have to wait till the temperature is below freezing, then all of a sudden it says, "I ain't working no more." All right? And we get upset, and we think, "Man, it's just not right. Why does life have to be that way? It's unfair." And it is, always has been, always will be. But our problem is we've got used to the good life. We've got used, and we've got used to the good things we have, and to the extent that across the world thinks, "Well, I deserve that. I deserve that." And we have politicians, they're not going to, not going to belabor this point, but we got politicians take advantage of it and saying that, "Hey, boy, you have a right to a house. You have a right to education." Whoa! Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Well, we've got this sense of entitlement, and we don't give glory to God. We don't give the glory to God that He deserves. Brother Dunbar sang that last song. He didn't know what I was going to preach, but when we started singing, praise him, all ye little children, I thought, yep, we need to do that more. We need to do that more. We get sidetracked. We quit doing that. Look, glory to God is expected by God. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, go with me to over in the book of Psalms, the 22nd Psalm, would you? And don't, by the way, I should have said this sooner maybe, don't lose your spot in the New Testament. We're coming back to the New Testament real quickly. We'll look at several scriptures here pretty quick tonight before we get through. But Psalm 22, look if we go in verse 23. "You that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel." Hey, all ye the seed of Israel, glorify Him. Well, I'll be honest with you. I think God expected Israel to glorify Him. God expected Israel to glorify Him. Now, we can sit here today and say, "Well, I'm not a Jew, so I'm okay." Wrong. Romans chapter 15, all right? Romans chapter 15 is in your Bible, okay? We're not off the hook. We're not Jews. We're not Israel. But I'll tell you what we are, we're Gentiles. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God," notice, "for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Hey, the Gentiles, they ought to glorify God because of His mercy, because of His mercy. Now, we're going to talk about some other things that we ought to glorify God about. And to be honest with you, I think it's very natural to assume you would glorify Him. Very natural to assume that you and I, as Christians, would glorify God. We'd just spend some time doing it. You say, "Well, how do you figure it?" Well, let's look at some examples in the New Testament. Look, if you will, there in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, would you? Like I say, we'll give you a minute or two to find that in your Bible. It's right after Luke chapter 4, okay? So Luke chapter 5, if you will, notice down in verse 25. Luke chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, "And immediately He rose up before them, took up that whereon He lay, and departed to His own house, glorifying God." Now, who was this? Well, let's back up a little bit, all right? He's a paralyzed man, all right? In verse 18 of that chapter, it says, "Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him." This is the one where they cut the hole in the roof, lowered him down, all right? And the Lord was talking to him, and He spoke to him, and He perceived their thoughts in verse 22, and He said, "What reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.' But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. That's where we find, and immediately he rose up before them, took up that wherein he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. He said, well, he had a reason to glorify God. Here he is, they brought him in, he couldn't walk, and they had to have four men to get him there, and they let him down, and God healed him. So, boy, he had a reason to glorify God. Oh, and we don't? We don't? All right, let's go to Luke chapter 18, all right? Luke chapter 18. Just some scriptures here in the Bible. Luke chapter 18, look, if you will, in verse 43. Verse 43, the Bible said, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Hey, I'm saying to you, it's expected, it should be expected, that we would glorify God. This fella got his sight, so he glorified God. You said, he didn't heal me of blindness. Yes, he did. He opened your eyes. He opened your eyes when you got saved and helped you to see the truth and understand it. And bless your heart, you and I have cause to glorify him. Glorify him. And just lift up his name, to praise his name, let people know it. These fellows didn't go home saying, well, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I don't believe it's like that. I believe, man, they were shouting it everywhere. Glory to God, all right? Look what he's done for me. Hey, I couldn't walk, but I walk. Hey, this fellow went home, that man with the palsy, he went home. He said, they carried me out, but I came back under my own power. Glory to God. The blind man said, you know what? I can see. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, you and I, it's natural. It's natural for men to glorify God because of his blessings. You've been blessed. You've been blessed. We sit here tonight, Christmas night. You were able to buy presents or finance them, one way or the other, whichever, you know. Maybe they're on the credit card, and that was rather foolish if you did that, but and you have to put it out over time, okay? That wasn't the wise thing to do. I can remember in days gone by, man, that families would buy Christmas presents on layaway. They'd buy it ahead of, you know, and they'd lay it away, and then they'd pay it out, and they'd buy Christmas, they could bring it home, all right? And people buy way too much, but I'm saying to you, God's been good. We've been blessed. How many of you got a Christmas present? Come on. You got a Christmas present. Who didn't get a Christmas present? There's a reason. No, I was just kidding. Hey, you hear me, all right? We have been blessed. We've been blessed. We ought to praise God. We ought to be glorifying him. But it goes deeper than that. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, would you? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to look at one verse here, if you will. Matthew 5, look at verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, my Bible teaches that our lives ought to cause folks and bring glory to God. Cause people to glorify God. Our lives. Just the way you live. The way you and I live ought to cause people to glorify God. You know how sad it is that there are some Christians, and the way they live causes people to deny God. Man, I don't want to be in their shoes at the judgment. The Bible says we're to let our light shine so to such an extent that other people out there would see us, and it would cause them to glorify God. Hey, because that's a natural thing. It is a natural thing to glorify the one who produces the blessings. That's natural. That is natural. Do that, all right? You and I ought to glorify him because of his blessing to us. You said, oh, preacher, I'm suffering. Hadn't had any blessing to speak of. Well, okay. Let's say you got nothing. You got nothing. But there's still a reason for you to glorify God. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's still a reason. None of us here can say, I have nothing to glorify God about. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 20. The Bible says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, you said, I ain't had no blessings. I'm nothing. I'm suffering. Hey, you're born again. You've been bought with a price. Your sin's covered. It's paid for. Friend, if there's nothing else in this world but that right there, there's a cause to glorify God. That alone is sufficient. That alone is sufficient. That God's got you through. Hey, we're almost through another year. You've almost survived it. You have survived it up to this point, okay? Glorify God, all right? Glorify God. Most of us don't look like we're starving to death, okay? We look like we eat regularly. And you say, well, I missed a meal. Well, it's your fault. Call me up. I won't let you go hungry. I mean that. Now, relax. I'm not cooking. That would cause you to want to go hungry, all right? I'm not going to cook, but I'd see to it that you were not starving. I don't want you to go without eating. Hey, but I'm just telling you, God's been good. God's been good. We ought to glorify him. You say, what's happened? Self has become more important than glorifying God. We've let self become way too important. Well, self has taken the driver's seat, all right? And it's squeezed out the co-pilot, too, if you let me put it that way. I'm the one, and it's all about me, and I have to take care of it. No, listen, you and I need to realize we are what we are, we have what we have, because of the blessing of God, and because of the mercy of God. I wish that I could stand here and say, man, I've lived such that I deserve what I have. But I deserve what I have because of the mercy of God. It's God's mercy. It's not because I've done to deserve it and earned it. No, it's simply because of his mercy. His mercy. Boy, that ought to cause us to just glorify him. Glorify him. And I'm saying to you, you said, what happened to the goodwill? What happened to peace on earth? We quit giving the glory to God. We don't give that to him. We don't give it that way. Oftentimes you hear maybe great generals give a report of a victory, but there's no glory to God. There's no glory to God. It's look what we did. It's our planning. It's our skill. It's our ability. No. And everything you and I have is because of the mercy and the blessing of God. Man, that ought to cause us to spend little time glorifying him. No glory, I believe, leads to no peace, all right? God gives peace to those that will bring glory to him. Bring glory to him. That's why I say to you, and as I said to you at the beginning, I'm not saying that you don't do this, but I am saying this. If you've got the peace of God, it's because you've learned to give glory to God. You've learned to give glory to God. And God said, my peace I leave with you. But we don't get advantage of that because we don't glorify him. If we had learned to glorify him and bring glory to him, it's amazing how much peace we can have in life. Ever watch people that struggle in life? One of the things I've grown up doing, and I started really as a kid, is watching people just observing people. And you watch people and you see what happens to them. You see the people that have got lives all just messed up, and their life is seemingly in constant turmoil and trouble, you know. And by the way, some of them have all that the world has to offer. They have all that the world has to offer. They got money, they've got fame, but their life's in a turmoil. They don't know the peace that passes all understanding. Why? Well, because their life's built around themselves. There's no glory to God. They've got that idea, I deserve this. I deserve this. And hear me, well, I don't deserve that. What do you mean you don't deserve that? What do you not deserve? Calamity? Trouble? That's what we do deserve. We deserve problems. We can't go around saying, I don't deserve that. Yeah, you can say it, but that's usually what we really deserve. And we see people like that, and then we see godly Christians that in the midst of trial and trouble have peace. They've got peace. And they weather the storm in peace. Now, the storm's still raging. I the old statement was, sometimes it calms the storm, but sometimes he calms me. We can have peace in the midst of trouble. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. And boy, it's easier for us to do that if we learn to glorify God. Lift his name up, glorify him. Hey, and I'll tell you, we miss that peace. When we miss that peace and that peace is missing, there's a little goodwill among men. There's a little goodwill among men. You see, if you're not at peace with yourself, it's hard for you to be at peace with somebody else. If you're not at peace with God, you won't be at peace with yourself. And if you're not at peace with those, you have a hard time with other people. And that goodwill is lacking. Goodwill. You know, I always say the Christmas time of year, there's a good front put on. There's a good front put on by so many people. And during that time, you know, we become the people that are just concerned about everything else. We contribute to the folks with the red kettle. We contribute to the Christmas tree, the Christmas angels. I forget all the name of it. There used to be a Good Fellows, I think, club that was on the Star Telegram sponsored, and it was all about helping people during this time of the year. We put on a good front during that time of the year. But the rest of the time of the year, forget it. You're on your own, Jack. I mean, when there's nobody watching, you know, it's your tough luck, Charlie. You know, hey, there's not a lot of goodwill. Not a lot of goodwill. Just goodwill. That's why we fight over a parking lot at Walmart. That's why people get in a fight in a store over a buggy. I mean, really, you see all kinds of things. Well, there's no goodwill. Goodwill is just lacking, all right? Why? Well, we quit glorifying God. Now, let me say this. Let me, you know, kind of give you the bad view. I want to tell you the day is coming. The day is coming when God's going to receive the glory that he should. Take your Bible, would you? We're going to read a few verses over in Revelation. Revelation, first of all, go to Revelation chapter 4. The day is coming when God's going to get the glory that he ought to receive. Look there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. All right. Revelation 4 verse 8, the Bible says this, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And go to chapter 5, would you? Chapter 5 there. Look down verse 9. And they sung a new song. Oh, I like that new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and lo, and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. He said, how many is that? That's a bunch. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, the day is coming. Day is coming. Go on over to Revelation chapter 19, would you? Revelation chapter 19. I don't want to leave on a bad note. I don't want to leave you said there's no peace, no way to get peace, no goodwill. Hey, it's coming. It's coming. There's going to be some glory to God. Revelation 19, look at verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and in the as the voice of many waters, and there's a voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Boy, have you ever heard the hallelujah chorus sung? If you've never heard it, look it up. Google it. And listen to somebody sing the hallelujah chorus. And boy, I mean, I don't care for all that kind of stuff, but I like the hallelujah chorus. I don't like the oratorios and all that. And the hallelujah chorus is part of a much greater work. And I don't care for the rest of it, but man, when you get to that one, I want to say, amen, all right? I like that part, okay? Hey, that day's coming. The whole world's going to get together, and they're going to honor and glorify our great God, our great God. Now, I don't know about you, but I tell you this, I want to give him all the glory I can. I want to sing about it, want to praise him for it, and I want to point others to that glory. Listen. We ought to fill our heart, we ought to fill our mouth with the praise to God. And people say, how you doing, man? I'm getting beat up, but God's been good. God's so good, so good. Man, God help us to glorify him. You want peace in your life? Learn to glorify God. Learn to glorify him. Boy, if you just do that, what a difference it would make. We live in a day, the angel chorus said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we haven't lived to see that day, but I'm planning to live to see that day. I want to see that day. And until then, I want to do my part. And I'll challenge you to do your part. Bless, glory, and honor him, would you? Stand together with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. You've been good to us.